Have you ever wondered why the U.S. presidential election isn't decided by a simple popular vote? Why does a candidate who receives fewer votes sometimes end up in the White House? These questions bring us to a debate that's been raging for decades. Should the Electoral College stay or go? Welcome to your Dinner Table Debates Daily Deep Dive, where we explore real topics from our decks and give you everything you need to debate in under 10 minutes. Today's topic is the U.S. should disband the Electoral College and comes from the U.S. law category in our full-size essentials deck. Let's dig in. The Electoral College isn't just a modern quirk of American politics. It's a system that's been woven into the fabric of U.S. democracy since the nation's inception. The Founding Fathers established it in the Constitution as a compromise, balancing the desire for popular representation with concerns about giving too much power to the masses or to Congress. For more than two centuries, this unique mechanism has determined how Americans choose their president. But it's also been a lightning rod for controversy and debate. Fun fact, at least 10 other countries actually do have an electoral college, but they don't function in quite the same way the US system does, making it perfectly unique. Some more background on how we got here. Direct popular election worried some founders for several reasons. They feared that a purely democratic process might lead to the election of a populist demagogue, aka rabble-rouser, aka agitator, aka a leader who makes use of popular prejudices, false claims, and promises in order to gain power. Or that the general public might lack the information necessary to make an informed choice. There were also practical concerns about coordinating a nationwide popular vote in an era of limited communication and transportation. Think horse and buggies and states that didn't get news for months at some times. Because of all of this, one other idea was considered, which was allowing Congress to pick our president. However, this was ultimately rejected due to concerns about separation of power. You certainly can't have a president in the executive branch elected by Congress in the legislative branch and not expect the president to feel like they're owned by Congress and that they need to do everything Congress wants. Arguably, one of the most important features of the American democratic system is the separation of powers between the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. The Electoral College emerged as a middle ground. It was designed to filter the popular will through a group of knowledgeable electors, addressing fears about an uninformed population, and it gave states of all sizes a role in selecting the president, based partly on their population, which helped address the concerns of both large and small states. Fun fact, Congress does actually have a role in the electoral process, if and only if a candidate does not receive a majority of electoral votes. When this happens, the House of Representatives chooses the president from among the top three candidates. This happened twice in U.S. history, in 1800 and 1824. But all of this isn't just about how we count votes. It's about representation, the balance of power between states, and the very nature of American democracy. When we talk about disbanding the Electoral College, we're really asking fundamental questions about how our democracy should function and what it means for every vote to count. Okay, but how does it work? Voters in each state choose electors to be part of the Electoral College. The number of electors each state gets is equal to its total numbers of senators and reps in Congress. As you might remember, every state gets only two reps in Senate, but the House of Representatives is based on their population size. There are currently 538 electors in total, and a candidate needs to win a majority of 270 electoral votes to become president. It's crucial to discuss this because it affects every presidential election and has led to situations where the winner of the popular vote doesn't become president. This happened most recently in 2016 when Donald Trump won the presidency despite receiving nearly 3 million fewer votes than Hillary Clinton. Now, let's debate. Agree. The U.S. should disband the Electoral College. The Electoral College goes against the principle of one person, one vote. In the current system, a vote in a swing state like Florida or Ohio carries way more weight than a vote in a solidly Republican or Democrat state. This violates the basic democratic principle that all votes should count equally. The Electoral College can lead to presidents who didn't win the popular vote. This has happened five times in U.S. history, most recently in 2000 and 2016. I would argue this undermines the legitimacy of the presidency and goes against the will of the majority. The current system encourages candidates to focus only on a handful of swing states, ignoring the needs and concerns of voters in safe states. A study by National Popular Vote found that in the 2012 election, 2/3 of general election campaign events were in just 4 states. Disagree. The U.S. should not disband the Electoral College. The Electoral College protects the interests of smaller states. Without it, candidates might focus solely on high population areas, potentially neglecting rural areas and smaller states. This system ensures that the presidential candidates must build geographically diverse coalitions to win. The Electoral College helps maintain the federal character of a nation. The Founding Fathers intended the United States to be a republic of states, not a single national entity. The Electoral College reflects this by giving states a role in selecting the president. Disbanding the Electoral College could lead to a fractured political landscape. In a direct popular vote, multiple candidates might run, potentially leading to presidents elected with a small popularity of the vote. The Electoral College typically produces a very clear winner, promoting stability. Now, let's explore some rebuttals. For the first degree point about one person, one vote, a rebuttal might go, while it's true that the votes in swing states carry more weight in practice, the Electoral College actually gives smaller states more representation than they would have in a purely population-based system. Each state gets a minimum of 3 electoral votes, regardless of population. This ensures that even the least populous states have a voice in the election. For the second disagree point about maintaining the federal character of a nation, you could argue, while the Founding Fathers' intent is important, our understanding of democracy has evolved. Many other federal systems like Germany and India elect their head of government through a national popular vote without compromising their federal structure. The U.S. could potentially do the same thing without losing its essential character as a union of states. To sum it up, the debate over the Electoral College touches on core principles of American democracy, including representation, federalism, and the balance between majority rule and protection of minority interests. There are valid points on both sides, highlighting the need for careful consideration of any potential changes to this long-standing system. Fun fact, some alternatives are in process. The National Popular Vote Interstate Compact is an agreement among a group of states and Washington, D.C. to award all of their electoral votes to whichever presidential candidate wins the overall popular vote. And as of 2023, it has been adopted by 15 states, though it won't take effect until enough states join to control a majority of electoral votes. Want to dig into this topic even more? Well, when you're playing dinner table debates at home, you can have Agree set the stage and choose how to define the debate. This means they can outline the terms, the context, and the interpretation, creating a unique and dynamic conversation every time. Here are some ways Agree could redefine the debate topic. 1. The U.S. should disband the Electoral College so that every vote counts equally and we prevent minority rule. Does eliminating the Electoral College guarantee that every citizen's vote carries the same weight, regardless of where they live? How much do you feel like your vote matters based on where you live? Would this lead to a more democratic and representative election outcome by making a popular vote the sole chooser? The U.S. should disband the Electoral College so that every vote counts equally and we can prevent minority rule. Does eliminating the Electoral College guarantee that every citizen's vote carries the same weight, regardless of where they live? How much do you feel like your vote matters based on where you live? Would this lead to a more democratic and representative election outcome by making the popular vote the sole determinant? 2. The U.S. should disband the Electoral College because it's outdated. The Electoral College was created to balance power between the federal government and the states, and to account for concerns at the time of the Constitution's drafting. Are these concerns still relevant today, or has the evolution of American society and technology made the Electoral College outdated? Is it time to modernize? 3. The U.S. should disband the Electoral College because we need to change how candidates campaign. How would disbanding the Electoral College change the way candidates behave, focusing less on swing states and more on nationwide issues? Would this lead to a more inclusive approach to addressing the concerns of voters across the entire country? Exploring these same topics in different ways can make the conversation more interesting and last all night. If you enjoyed our deep dive, you can debate this topic and many others by getting your own Dinner Table Debates deck at dinnertabledebates.com. It's a unique game because every round starts with randomly assigning agree or disagree. Then you pick the topic, meaning that you might be debating for something you disagree with, or vice versa. But that's the point. Stretch your brain, gain clarity, improve critical thinking and empathy, and have fun doing it. You can also join the debate on our Instagram or TikTok account at Dinner Table Debates. Get ready for some thought-provoking discussions that will challenge your assumptions and broaden your understanding of the world around you. Happy debating, and remember, everyone is always welcome at the table.